All right, as stated previously, we are so excited to have Sister Alina Ibarra, who is going to be sharing some things with us tonight. We greatly appreciate Sister Alina Ibarra for so many reasons. When she came into the church, she came in with a whole heart into the kingdom of God, and she's been willing to help in any way that she can. As a matter of fact, I want to state one thing. In the last couple of weeks, someone made mention about Brother Vic. You know, you work so hard at these devotions. He's helping with the devotions in the morning and the evening. But I want everyone to know that it's been Sister Alina who's been working faithfully behind the scenes with the scheduling and calling folks to get them onto the devotion call. So she's been doing a lot of work to make these devotions work together seamlessly and smoothly. So once again, we appreciate her for so many reasons. And with that said, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Sister Alina now. Sister Alina.
Thank you, Brother Vic. I appreciate that. And thank you, Lord, for another day. It's an honor and a privilege to be on this call tonight. It's really exciting to be on this call tonight. These calls are such a blessing. So I pray that I can be a form of a blessing tonight as well. There's a few things that I had on my heart that I wanted to share, and I kind of went back and forth on whether or not I wanted to share some of these things. But truthfully, there is power in our testimony. Revelation 12 and 11 says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." And the word of God is saying that one of the key ingredients to overcoming the enemy is by the word of our testimony. And of course, first and foremost, the blood of the Lamb. But our testimony is a big part of overcoming. There's something that is just so powerful about each individual's testimony. And there's things that have happened in people's lives where maybe it wasn't always sunshine and daisies, but it's real and it happened and it's a part of their testimony. And there's people who come from the world and live their lives deep in sin, and we get to hear their testimony of how God completely turned their lives around. And there are those who were raised in the church and have lived for God their whole life. And that's a powerful testimony in and of itself, how God can keep somebody in the church from the beginning to the end. And what our testimony does is it gives all glory to God, and it exemplifies his power, his love, his mercy. God can do anything, and we are all living examples of that fact. So as for myself, I am in the category of those who come from the world. I wasn't raised in church. I was actually raised with sin all around me, and I live my life in sin. I was a very broken young lady. And I'm still a young lady. I know you guys get where I'm coming from, but I was even younger then. but I was a really broken young lady, and this brokenness, it started at a young age. As far as I can remember, I was probably about 7 or 8 years old, and that's about the age that I have, like, recollection of things that took place in my life, and my life's trial has been my father. Now, my father, I love him dearly. Dearly, dearly, dearly. I love this man so much, and he means so much to me. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that I have a special place in his heart also. But Dad had a problem. And Dad had this problem far before I was even born. He met my mom, and this problem that he had led into my childhood. So, at a young age, I learned Daddy is a heroin addict. And this caused and I think I probably realize it more now than I did at the time. But this caused a lot of heartache to me as a little girl. And it was crazy. It was almost like I was understood things and was exposed to things early on that, you know, most young children probably shouldn't be exposed to. And, you know, I understood when something wasn't right. I understood when Dad wasn't sober. I knew the look. I knew the behavior. I knew what it was when Dad was back on drugs. And he would go in and out, you know, get sober, relapse, get sober, relapse, and it was just a pattern. And I witnessed things take place, of course, between my mother and my father, because, you know, when someone's doing drugs, it can cause problems in relationships, and especially in your family, marriages, relationships between your children, whoever it is, brothers, sisters, it can cause problems in all directions. And I firsthand witnessed problems between my parents because of my father's issue. And they would argue, they would fight. It would get a little ugly. And I remember one night, Dad didn't come home until about, I want to say 3-4 in the morning, because he was out doing things that he shouldn't have been doing, and this was common that Dad wouldn't come home like this. So I would go and I would sleep with my mom because I didn't want her to be alone. So I would go and I would sleep with her, and then until my dad got home, whether he came to bed or not, I was there. So I remember one night specifically that my dad got home very late, 3-4 in the morning, and I wake up to yelling and arguing, and just it wasn't necessarily new to me to wake up to that. But this night they were arguing, and Dad was just out of it. He was just completely out of it, and I was, like I said, probably still about the same age, 7 or 8. And I see my dad go toward my mother and takes her down by the neck and proceeds to choke her. And I remember this very, very clearly. I start, you know, screaming, and I'm freaking out, and I'm so little, I don't understand even what's happening. And I try to jump over and save my mom, because I knew that she couldn't breathe. I could see it all over her face. And I was not strong enough. I mean, I was just a little girl. I had no strength compared to my father. But I am thankful for the hand of God on my life, on my mother's life, because my brother, my big brother, my oldest brother, came in, and he had happened to hear the commotion that was happening late at night. And he ran in, grabbed my dad, threw him off, and that was that. And my mom was able to breathe again. And I'm so thankful that he came in there, because I don't know what would have happened if he didn't. It could have been a completely different story today. And I'm thankful to God that, you know, it is what it is now, and that she's still here and everything's okay. Now, despite the fact that my father did things like this, I loved him very much. And I wanted him to change. And I believed that he could change. I believed it was possible, even though time after time it just didn't seem like it was happening. But I essentially had faith that it would happen one day. I know my parents loved each other. They loved each other very, very, very much. But it was just this one problem. And so I asked my dad, I said, Dad, I wanted him to make me a promise that he was going to change and that he was going to turn his life around. And so he made those promises. And then he would go, and then he would fail. And this happened again and again. And so one day my dad came to me, and he got down on one knee, and he said, "Mija, I can't make you any more promises because I don't know if I'll be able to keep them." And I understand now, although it did hurt, and I'm not giving him a pass, I'm not saying that it was okay, but I understand now that my father was bound by sin, and he just did not know a way out. He wanted change. He wanted to get out of the lifestyle that he had, but he just didn't know how. And I know that God is the answer. I know that once he is baptized in Jesus' name, once he's filled with the Holy Ghost, God can deliver him. I know God can deliver him because that's my God, and he can do that. But anyways, I got older into my teenage years. Forgive me, I have notes here that I'm trying to look at. So I went a little bit off of my notes, but yes, so this went into my teenage years, and Dad's been in and out of jail for as long as I can remember, but by the time I was 18, I had a lot of pain built up throughout the years, and when I was 18, that was when Dad made his way back to jail, and he is currently still in prison now. And at that time, Alina began her own downward spiral in her life. I started to make some very bad decisions. There's a whole backstory as to how that happened, and I won't be able to get into that tonight for the sake of time, but I became very irresponsible. I made choices that caused me to be broke, no money, just nothing. And I mean very, very broke. Like, I was searching for pennies in the car that I had no gas money for. And I betrayed my family in a lot of ways. I did a lot of things to them that I shouldn't have done. And, you know, because of that fact, my family was fed up and, you know, did not want to help me. And it was kind of like, you're on your own. And Mom got so fed up that she kicked me out of the house. And you know what, rightfully so, because I was not the child who was obeying her parents whatsoever. And she kicked me out of the house, and bless her heart, she loved me. She loved her children so much that she actually asked me to come back because she didn't want me out at who knows where, doing what. And so she asked me to come back, but she said, she laid it down. She said, "You can come back here. I want you here. I love you, but don't ask me for anything." And so I went back, and I continued to live my life that way for the next 2 years. And in that second year of how I was living, somebody invited me to Truth Church. And that was the turning point for my life. I remember specifically walking into Truth Church, and I just felt the anointing of God, the presence of God. It was just so thick. It was just like like, hallelujah. Like, I just walked in those doors and I knew I felt something good. And I didn't have a church background. I didn't know anything about God, but I knew that what I felt when I walked into those doors was something I had never felt before. And it kept me coming back. It kept me coming back. And in the beginning, it's from what I can remember, I wasn't right away in the altar, you know, praying and seeking the Lord. I had a hard shell on me. I was really cold and just messed up. And, you know, even though I had this hard shell on me, and maybe I acted like, you know, maybe like I acted like I didn't want to be there, or looked disinterested, I wasn't. I was not. I had this hard casing on the outside, but on the inside, I was just dying to get a hold of whatever it was that I felt. And it just makes me think of, you know, how many other people are coming into the church, how many guests are coming into the church that maybe they have that hard covering on them, maybe they look disinterested, but inside they're just dying for something more. They're dying for relief, and they're looking for an answer. And that was me. That was definitely me. And there was a night where I was invited by Sister Tanya to go to a church service at one of our neighboring churches in Redlands. And this night for me is just, it's absolutely unforgettable, because it made a difference for me, and it changed. It changed where, it just changed everything. And at this service, this preacher, for lack of better words, he starts reading my mail from the pulpit. And he starts going in and saying, you know, there's a girl in here who's going through XYZ, and this is what you're feeling right now. You're fighting what you feel in this place, and you need to let go, and you need to let God into your heart. And as he's saying this, I'm like just amazed. I'm like, what in the world? Like, this man, this preacher, does not know me. I've never met him before, and he is preaching from the pulpit things about my life. I was really taken back, but I knew it was real, because I thought, I don't know him. How did he know that? You know, and of course God revealed it to him. But anyways, when this happened, my eyes started to water. Now, the thing about me is that at that time, I had developed this mindset that, you know, don't cry, because if you cry, you're weak. And so, and I think this is a result, that was a result of, you know, things that happened in, you know, with family and with my father. But that was my sort of way, I guess, to protect myself, or I don't even know what I was thinking. But anyways, I was wrong, because that doesn't mean that you're strong. It just means you're holding in all the pain that you have. And so I had this mindset, and I did not want to let those tears out. As much as they wanted to come out, I was fighting it. And that preacher was right. I was fighting what I was feeling. And so Jasmine, she leans over to me and she asks me, you know, how do you feel? Or what do you feel? And I was just very honest. And I was like, I feel like crying. And she said, go ahead and cry. No one here is going to judge you. I mean, I'm looking at apostolics laid out on the floor. You know, there's a full-on altar call that's starting to take place. And here I am, concerned about what I'm going to look like when I start crying. And she said, no one cares. No one's going to judge you. And I just said, I can't. I can't do it. And she said, do you want to go to the altar? To the altar. And I paused, just looked at her, and something made me say yes. Even though I was fighting what I was feeling, my pride was trying to get in the way, something made me say yes. And it was something I'd never done before. I had never been in an altar call. I had never raised my hands and surrendered to God before. I didn't know. I had no clue what I was doing. And so I go up there, and this beautiful apostolic lady comes up to me. And I thank God that she was sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Because what she started doing was she starts basically walking me through it. And she tells me to lift my hands, close my eyes, and I'm feeling a little awkward because I've never done it. So I lift my hands, close my eyes. And she said, repeat after me. And she said, say, God, I repent of my sin. And I said, okay, God, I repent of my sin. And she said, now I ask him to forgive you. And I said, okay, Lord, please forgive me. And then she said, now say, I love you, Jesus. And I said, I love you, Jesus. And when I said those last words, the Holy Ghost hit me so hard. It's the only way that I can explain it. And I felt the love of God come over me, and the tears, they just started falling. And it wasn't even pain. It was finally, this is what I've been looking for. I feel love. I felt the love of God. And it was so strong. It was so powerful. And I've told people many times, I felt like I was on a cloud. Like I touched heaven. And I ended up falling on the floor. I mean, it was just, it was quite the experience. And I'm so glad it happened, because it solidified a lot for me. Just the fact that saying those words, I love you, Jesus, led to that, showed me that, okay, there's something here. There's something about these apostolics. There's something about this faith. And I remember I went the next day and I told the guy that I was dating at the time, and that's a whole other story too, but I said, you won't believe what happened to me last night. I said, I felt God. I started crying. I felt like I was on a cloud. It was the most amazing thing I've ever, I was so excited. It was the most amazing thing I've ever felt. And he responds to me and he says, that wasn't real. What you felt, that wasn't real. And they probably told that preacher all about you before you even got there. And I was like, whoa. Now talk about the devil using somebody to try to, you know, trip me up and make me think that didn't really happen. But it happened. And my response to this was, it was real. You cannot take my experience for me. It was my experience. And that's the powerful thing about this truth, is that no one can tell you otherwise, because only you know what you felt. Only you know what you saw. Only you know that you started speaking in tongues as the Spirit gave you the utterance. Only you know that, because you experienced it. And that's why I like to say that if somebody tries to tell me that this is not real, they've come too late. They've come too late. Because this apostolic faith is real. It's the real deal. And so after that happened, I kept pushing. I kept going to Bible studies. That was with Tanya and Brendan and Kendra. And I really started seeking the Holy Ghost. And not long after this experience took place, where I felt God's touch for the first time, God did fill me with the Holy Ghost. And he filled me with the Holy Ghost on October 28th, 2017. And I was baptized in Jesus' name on October 29th, 2017. And God has completely transformed my life in every area, in every area. He restored me financially. He He mended my relationship with my family, with my mother. Just a complete turnaround. And now that I am here, I know that God, and I said this earlier, that God can restore my father. One of the biggest trials of my life, he can restore my father the same way that he restored me. And he can do the same for my family. He can do the same for your family, for anybody. He can do it, and nothing's impossible. Nothing's impossible for him. There's this last scripture that I'm going to finish up with, and forgive me, I hope I'm not going over time here, but it's in Psalm 40, and I'll just read 1 through 5. And it says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my bones. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. And these verses speak volumes to me, because he brought me out of a horrible pit. And I'm sure there are many that feel the same way. He put a new song in my mouth, and many, 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 many are his wonderful works. And we are so blessed. We are a blessed people to walk in his ways, and I wouldn't trade this life with Jesus for anything else. I found home. Praise God. That's all, Brother Vic.
And Sister Alina, that was tremendous. That was powerful. That was great. And we have a special person that wants to say something at this point in time. I want to make sure that Pastor Clark is on the line. Pastor Clark, can you hear me, sir?
Yes, Sister Alina, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Sister Alina, I want to tell you that my wife and I are sitting here at Brother Stephen and Sister Vanessa's home, and we are so, so touched by your testimony. And Sister Alina, I want to tell you this, and it's from my heart. As your pastor, I really, really love you, and we are very proud of you. And I want to say that you are loved by our church. You're a blessing. You're an example. And you are an inspiration to many all through the church. And I can feel the love that you have for your dad. And I am going to just pray with you and agree that God will deal with him and fill him with the Holy Ghost. And so I just wanted to say this. God bless you. We love you. We're very, very proud of you.
God bless you, pastors. Thank you, and I love you both.
Okay, thanks. Brother Vic, I'll turn it back to you.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Pastor Clark. And again, thank you, Sister Alina, for your powerful testimony. And Sister Alina said it tonight, church, we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And once again, Sister Alina, thank you for opening up with the personal and sensitive details of your life and your family's lives. But even as Sister Alina was sharing her testimony, we were reminded of the power that comes in confessing and releasing the painful details of our past, and the power of forgiveness that comes as a result. I just got a text message. I want to read this. This is from Sister Lupi. Thank you, Sister Alina, for those words of encouragement. God is a restorer, and he can do anything. Praise God. And the last thing I had to write here was what Sister Alina said towards the end, "This is what I was looking for." Praise God, church. Why don't we just thank God for this great testimony, for the great things that God has done.
For everything that you have done for her.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, for the great things you've done, Sister Alina's life, Lord, in her, and that you're going to do in her family, and for the testimony in her, on her lips, the words that she's expressed to us tonight, church, it's going to help somebody else. It's going to encourage someone else, motivate someone else, Lord God, with a faith that they need. In the name of Jesus, in el nombre de Jesus, praise God. Church, we hope that you're feeling the anointing that we're feeling tonight. Why don't, tonight when we finish up, go ahead and find your prayer closet and begin to thank God for what he's going to do in your life, just as he's done a great work in Sister Alina's life. Praise God. Again, everyone, we thank everyone for being on this call tonight. We welcome everyone for the morning manna devotion. We're going to hear tomorrow morning with Sister Pat Boggs at 10:15 a.m. God bless all of you and have a great night. Amen.